Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear about some new treatment options available at the Minneapolis VA, and we'll learn about the Red Cross Armed Forces Program. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon Network is an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program is vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. You help ensure our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you're ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. That's beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Just a few years ago, the new Minneapolis VA Healthcare Systems Integrative Center for Health and Healing wasn't something that the traditional VA would likely have endorsed. But the VA's new emphasis on veteran-centric care has resulted in a sea change of attitudes towards therapies that were once called alternative or complementary. And joining us today to talk about that is the co-director of the Center for Integrative Health and Healing at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, Judy Wagner. Judy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Judy, I understand that you've been out at the VA for a few years.
Yes, I've been out there for 27 years. It's my one and only nursing job.
And for most of that time, you're a nurse practitioner.
I've been a nurse practitioner since 2005 and an RN since 1991 when I started there, yeah.
And you went to school at the University of Minnesota.
I did. I got my doctorate a few years ago in nursing practice with a specialty in integrative health and healing.
And then you spent some time at St. Kate's as well.
Yes, the College of St. Catherine. I did spend a lot of time there. Graduated there in 2005 with my master's, and that's when I finished my certification for nurse to be a nurse practitioner.
Well, they have a beautiful campus over in St. Paul, and do they turn out a lot of nurses over there?
They turn out a lot of nurses and nurse practitioners and a few other health occupations, too.
So does the VA have a program for them to start their nursing practice out at the VA Medical Center?
We do have a lot of St. Kate's nurses that do some of their clinical rotations at the VA, both the RNs and the nurse practitioners.
Okay, so you've been at the VA for a long time. Apparently the veterans are behaving, or you wouldn't still be there.
For the most part, they are behaving. It's a good place to work. I've enjoyed taking care of veterans all these years from in the beginning when there was World War I veterans and then World War II and Korea and Vietnam and now the younger veterans as well. It's been a good journey.
And over those years, the VA has grown and they're helping more and more veterans, aren't they?
Yeah, we're expanding and we're offering new and innovative ways to help veterans heal and optimize their well-being.
And I understand that you're always looking for nurse practitioners, and it's a great place to work.
It is a good place to work. There's a lot of support, and you know, we work with our other team members in the healthcare system, and it's a good team effort to take care of our veterans.
We're speaking with Judy Wagner, who is co-director of the Center for Integrative Health and Healing at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Judy, what is the Center for Integrative Health Care and Healing? What does that mean?
The Center of Integrative Health and Healing is part of the Integrative Health Program that was established in 2015 at the Minneapolis VA, and it is a place that was created for veterans to come to receive a variety of services that can promote healing, but also just optimize their health and well-being. They don't have to have an illness or a symptom to come to the center. They can just come to work on their health and hopefully prevent illness in the future.
So, Judy, I've always heard that the VA doesn't approve of non-medical approved therapies, and we used to call it alternatives to those things, but You opened up your center in December of, when was that, 2 years ago?
No, just this last December, just a few months ago.
And so now there are some things that you do offer to help increase the options that the doctors and the VA has to take care of patients.
Right. You know, a few years ago, as a matter of fact, we did a needs assessment and some listening sessions with veterans all over the state that were part of the Minneapolis system. And we asked them, what kind of therapies would you like to see the VA offer in this approach of integrative therapies? And it's very interesting. The veterans and the providers that, you know, care for the veterans all said, we'd like to see acupuncture, we'd like to see yoga, we'd like to see Tai Chi, massage, some of these therapies that used to not be mainstream in a healthcare setting, they were looking for as other options for taking care of themselves.
So as of last December, this has opened up. Things are changing.
Things are changing. Well, we had a few of these practices in the hospital in different silos in the healthcare system. We didn't have a center where veterans could come more freely and serve more of them at than just the small few that were getting it in certain areas of the hospital.
So you're just a few months into this. Are the veterans taking to these alternates?
Yes, we are busy, and we're getting busier every day. Acupuncture, that's one of our most popular therapies that veterans are interested in, but we have our orientation classes are full each week, and it's just getting more and more busy.
So the acupuncture, I want to ask you about that one. Does that stuff really work?
It does. It does. And our veterans are our biggest voice about how well it works.
So it helps them ease the pain.
It does help with pain. Some veterans have said it's helped with their insomnia. Others have used it for depression. Some of it used for anxiety. Some of them are just trying it out for the first time just to see what it's all about.
So we had Director Kelly on the show a week or two ago, and he's given us a new report on opioids that is suggesting that the use of non-prescription painkillers might be just as good as those opioids. But you're kind of figuring out that some of these alternative methods are also helping with those things.
Yeah, they are. Acupuncture has been shown to help with pain, knee pain, headaches, migraines, neck pain. It's yoga has been helpful for low back pain. In fact, the American Academy of Family Physicians put that as an initial treatment, yoga, Tai Chi, and some acupuncture for acute and subacute and chronic low back pain. Tai Chi, you know, mindfulness practices, they've all been shown to help with pain.
Judy, I'm visualizing the blood draw room with all of my fellow veterans down there that are just beat up. And then you say yoga and Tai Chi, like just stretching and those guys moving around. Paints a funny picture. I'm sorry.
Well, our yoga might not be the yoga you see at some of the yoga studios in town, but it is true yoga. And we've had 90-some-year-old veterans come in and say that helped more than anything I've done in a long time for their pain.
So the stretching and moving, yeah. And you know, I suppose that helps with everyday,
right.
Just getting through life.
Yeah, just the activities of everyday living. And some of our veterans come in wheelchairs, and we adapt to whatever their abilities are.
So do what you can.
Right, do what you can.
Judy, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to get into some of these various methods that you offer at the Center for Integrative Healthcare at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. I'm speaking to Judy Wagner on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Judy Wagner, who is a nurse practitioner and the co-director of the Center for Integrative Health and Healing at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And Judy, you've told us that you've been out there since 1991, and you were working in critical care, cardiology, congestive heart failure, and now you've changed over to this integrative health and healing. What caused you to get interested in that and kind of make a change in your career?
Well, I think working with veterans for all those years and seeing veterans come in over and over into the ICU or into the hospital or into the clinic with the same symptoms and the same concerns, I kept getting this feeling that we were missing something. There was something that we weren't helping them with to live more fully. And my co-director, Lori Kubisch, and I went back to school and got our doctorate in nursing and integrative health and healing and found the tools that we needed to do exactly what we wanted to, help veterans find positive things in their life that could help them live well, even in the presence of the diseases that they might have.
And so then you must have talked with Director Kelly and the senior leadership, and I'll bet you and your partner had something to do with creating this.
We did, but it's also kind of a movement coming through the VA system right now. The Office of Patient-Centered Care and Cultural Transformation is bringing whole health and integrative health through all the VA. And we were lucky here to have some good support and kind of a vision to how to get this started.
So as our veterans get older and they have these problems that creep up, they get kind of consumed with it. Is part of the effort to try to find ways for them to have some fun?
Right. If they are having fun in their life or doing those things that give them joy, they need us less. They are out in their lives interacting with their families, in nature, in their communities, and focusing on those healthful things rather than their illness or whatever things they might have listed on their problem list in their medical chart.
So, Judy, we've got a list of things that you work on, and it starts out with mindfulness. What's that about?
Mindfulness is kind of an active way of being in the present moment. You know, so many times we are thinking about 10,000 things at the same time, and our mind is a flurry with many different thoughts. And if we can kind of just remember to focus on the present moment, it's been shown to decrease stress, improve sleep habits, decrease pain. It's been studied for a long time. Mindfulness-based meditation practices or present moment practices can help in a variety of conditions.
So you're teaching my fellow veterans to focus.
We're trying to keep the mind focused as much as we can. It has kind of a mind of its own.
Good luck with that one. But I'm sure you'll teach them. If they pay attention, they'll learn. And we talked a little bit about acupuncture and yoga. What type of, I did some yoga for a while, and it's basically stretching and getting your core stronger and those type of things. Are you doing the same things?
We are doing the same thing. We have great yoga providers that work with veterans from different capabilities, and it's gentle movements, gentle stretches, also bringing in the breathing and those relaxation practices, connecting the mind and the body through breath and movement, which helps the body move more easily, helps with pain and with stress and relaxation as well.
So does some of that increase your blood circulation and some of those issues too?
Well, sure. Movement is good for all of our joints. You know, motion is lotion, so that's always a good thing. But when our bodies are more relaxed and our minds are relaxed, we have better blood flow. We have a less reactive immune system. We have less inflammation. So all those things help us overall.
And Tai Chi.
Tai Chi is another form of gentle movement, but it's not, I mean, you can do it sitting, but most of it's standing and moving about the room in a gentle way, and it's been shown to help with balance, which is very important, especially as you get older, as well as osteoarthritis and different types of joint pain.
So are the veterans taken to this Tai Chi?
They are. The veterans are very receptive to these. I think we are more of a barrier as a provider than the veterans are, because we think they're not going to be interested when they're waiting for it. They're waiting for these kind of practices, and sometimes they're afraid to bring it up to us. So we need to be proactive and tell them what we offer because they're ready.
So I'm picturing those veterans out there again. If you bring up Tai Chi, is there a little bit of giggling going on?
Sometimes they kind of look at us funny until we explain it, and you can kind of see the aha going on, like, yeah, I think I could do that. And we just have to, or they have to try it once. If they've tried it once, usually they're set to go.
And the lights come on a little bit.
Yeah, they realize that they can do this, right.
And, of course, they're all different, so there's limits to what they can do. But whatever they can do will help, won't it?
Yes, they will get benefit from that just from participating.
We're speaking with Judy Wagner, who is the co-director of the Center for Integrative Health and Healing on Minnesota Military Radio. So we talked about Tai Chi, but it looks like there's some training involved here, too. Do you talk about integrative nutrition?
We do talk about integrative nutrition, and a lot of times we just think of the calories going in to feed our body that way. But we wanted people to recognize that food can be information for the body. The body's going to react to 100 calories of from a donut differently than 100 calories from a healthy salmon or a salad and stuff. Food can help you feel better. It can decrease inflammation in the body, or it can promote inflammation in the body. Those sugary drinks and the processed food does make a difference in how we feel and how we feel mentally as well.
So you actually tell the veterans, don't have a greasy cheeseburger. Let's try some healthy salmon. They must be laughing when you do that.
Well, a lot of times we'll just say, how about adding some of these healthy things in your diet, and then if just start kind of improving their nourishment from adding things in and before we start talking about removing some things out. Well, it goes a little easier.
If they just remember one thing, it's got to help, I would think.
Yeah, it but does. Little keep, bits add up.
Keep trying. Don't give up. Don't give up. And then last thing on the list, Whole Health Group.
Whole health groups look at this whole health practice that's coming throughout the VA. Whole health looks at the whole veteran, all the components of their life, maybe healthy relationships, their environment that they're in, the food that they eat, how often they get sleep and rest, power of the mind, tapping into probably our most powerful tool of all is our mind. Purpose, have you retired and lost your purpose? How can we kind of make you feel like you have meaning again in your life? All those aspects of life that help someone feel well and have optimal health and well-being are things that we discuss in this whole health group. And it puts the veteran at the center, and they drive their care.
And you have some very good chaplains out there, so spiritual health is also quite important, especially as we age.
Absolutely, and especially if we're not feeling well, looking for a source that can help us in times of need or feeling connected to a bigger idea, a bigger source, that's important. And we have a great chaplaincy service at the VA, and we used to think that we shouldn't be talking about politics or religion or spirituality with veterans, and that's just not true. We need spirituality as a part of who we are as spiritual beings, since it's important.
And you've got a great chapel out there. When I come out and give some blood and I've got time between that and my meeting with the doctor, I often hop into that chapel, and it's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place, and it's a busy place. There's a lot of things that go on there every day.
So, Judy, if our listeners are patients at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, how do they go about getting to you and some of these alternatives?
If you are a veteran in our Minneapolis VA healthcare system, you can talk to your primary provider or another provider that knows you pretty well at the hospital and ask them if they would send a consult in to the Center of Integrative Health and Healing. And they will put a little note in the computer to us, and we will call you and make an appointment after that consult has been placed to come into our orientation class.
And you've got plenty of room for more veterans.
We have plenty of room at this time for more veterans. I have a feeling in the future we will get busier. And so we'll probably have to grow what we currently have, but that'll be a good problem to have.
Director Kelly knows how to take care of that and get you more room and more people. And
we're counting on it.
You can keep taking great care of our veterans. Judy, thank you for all your work out at the VA, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thanks for the time, and we appreciate being able to talk about our center.
Thank you. That was Judy Wagner, co-director of the Center for Integrative Health and Healing on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn about the Red Cross Armed Forces Program. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to learn about the Red Cross's Armed Forces Program. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
During the month of April, the state of Minnesota takes time to recognize the Month of the Military Child in order to emphasize the important role military children play while a parent or an important adult is serving. The children of service members sacrifice a great deal when their parent is deployed, and they are rarely recognized for that sacrifice. Children of service members deal with many issues unique to their situation. Some move frequently, others worried about the loved one in harm's way, or just feel the stress of being separated from a parent for an extended period of time. All of these issues can make normal childhood activities more difficult. During this month, Governor Mark Dayton will send military children a letter of gratitude in honor of their service and sacrifice. To register a military child to receive a letter from the governor, contact MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In this segment, we're going to talk about the Red Cross Armed Forces Program, and we have a special co-host joining us, Brigadier General Joanna Clyborn. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks to have me.
General, I understand that not on behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, but as an individual, you sit on the board of the Red Cross.
That is correct. I am one of the board of directors for the Twin Cities American Red Cross.
And have you been on that board for a while?
I have. I've been on it for 3 years, and I will be renewing another 3 years coming up.
Well, good work, General. Just another one of your many jobs.
Many hats, indeed.
Yes, ma'am. Now, you brought a guest for us today. Would you like to introduce him?
Absolutely. I brought with me Jason Bengtson, who is the Regional Director for the Services to Armed Forces and International Services for the American Red Cross here in the Twin Cities.
Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jason, I understand you're a graduate from North Dakota State U.
I am. Go Bison.
Go Bison. There he goes. And you have a degree in emergency management.
I do, yes.
And my cheat sheet here says that for 5 years with the American Red Cross Disaster Cycle Services. What's that?
It's one of the larger programs the American Red Cross has. We respond to disasters all around the country, from a house fire all the way up to a hurricane.
So, and you worked on a number of those.
Yes, well over 15 disaster operations I've been on, yeah.
So you've lost some sleep.
I have had a lot of sleepless weeks working on disaster operations, that's for sure.
General, when the Red Cross goes out on those disasters, that's just got to be overwhelming.
It absolutely is, but you know, it's very similar to a military operation. It's well run, and the volunteers and the dedication they put in is just phenomenal to watch.
Well, Jason, your current position, you are Service to Armed Forces and International Services. You're the regional director?
That is correct.
Can you explain that to me in English?
Yes, yes. I oversee our Service to Armed Forces Department and also our International Service Department for the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota region. We also have Douglas County, Wisconsin, up by Duluth. And so what I do is I just provide logistical and whole overall program support for all of the programs we have for Service to Armed Forces. There's a staff of two, so there's me and one other specialist, and we're just here to help support and keep our programs running.
General, when I think about Red Cross, I think about disasters and giving some money and volunteering, but I don't really often think about the Red Cross and the Armed Forces. That must have been going on for quite some time.
Well, actually, it has been. The history dates back to the Civil War, basically, well before then. And it has to do with the ability to serve as a neutral in which the military can rely on providing assistance. And so everything from nowadays providing a service member financial education or grants, but also for service members' families to get in touch while they are deployed or on military operations, they actually are a federally chartered, recognized by Congress organization, which is an unusual step for a nonprofit. And through their work, they are able to work with the military to verify emergencies, for example, so that our service members are able to potentially come home in the event of a death or a birth of a child or any of those types of emergencies. And the military leadership has an organization that can take care of some of those back behind the scenes verification.
So just like they did when I was in Vietnam 40 some years ago, the only way to get information to our troops then was to contact the Red Cross. So you're still performing that service.
That's correct. It actually started in 1900 was our first congressional charter, dating back to the Spanish-American War. So we've been doing it a while.
Well, thank you for that service. I know a lot of my buddies in Vietnam were contacted by the Red Cross. I was always afraid there I was going to be, but fortunately nothing bad happened. So it was okay. Now, there are a lot of agencies that work together in cases of emergencies, and I assume that you coordinate some activities with Homeland Security and Emergency Management here in Minnesota and try to coordinate with other agencies so that you cooperate on disasters?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have relationships with HSEM, and we also work with all the local county emergency management, city emergency management. We sit in meetings with them. If a big disaster happens, we have a seat at the Emergency Operations Center. Usually they have a little tent which says American Red Cross at one of the tables in the Emergency Operations Center ready for us. Because we're also, I mentioned the charter for the Congressional Charter for Service to Armed Forces, but we also have a charter for providing mass care after disasters. So we also are looked at from the government to provide those services for individuals.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Joanna Clyborn and Jason Bengtson about the Red Cross on Minnesota Military Radio. So we just had a Super Bowl here. Did you have a seat at that table?
We did, yes. We had volunteers. One of the things that the Red Cross is very proud of is we're a primarily volunteer-run organization. Over 90% of our workforce is volunteers. So we had volunteers at the EOC that was running during the entire operational period of the Super Bowl. And we were there. We had locations on ready to go in case there was a disaster or something happened where we needed to open a shelter. So we had several locations throughout the metro area ready to go, and were volunteers that would have been there within an hour to have it set up for people.
General, a few weeks ago, we had Director Joe Kelly, that's Minnesota's in charge of Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, on, as well as the Minnesota National Guard, and we were talking about being prepared for disasters and being prepared for things like the Super Bowl to make sure everybody is safe. And the Minnesota National Guard plays a big part in that as well.
Absolutely, they do. You know, the National Guard has two missions. It has a federal mission, but it also has a state mission, and that state mission is to be here no matter what the crisis is, in order to help our local communities. And part of that is cooperating and being in support of civil authorities, which is what the Super Bowl was, for example, where we were in support of local law enforcement authorities, but also working with agencies such as the American Red Cross here to provide services in the event that something is needed. They're part of the team, just like we are part of the overall state team.
And we're fortunate to have Camp Ripley here in Minnesota, and the Homeland Security has an office up there, and all of those civil authorities and the Minnesota National Guard and the Red Cross, and they all come together up there and do your favorite thing, General. They train so that when they're called out for an emergency, they know who their partners are and how to get things done.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think that Minnesota does really well is that we bring all of the agencies together. And we work together cooperatively, both in sharing information, but training in the event that something does happen, so that we are all rehearsed and prepared to handle the situation at hand without having to think about it. And as they say, the worst time to be exchanging business cards is in the middle of an emergency. That should be happening well beforehand, and Minnesota is leading that effort.
So, Jason, I assume you've been up to Camp Ripley and you've been part of these exercises to get to know everyone.
Absolutely. I've made several trips up there. Yeah, it's a great facility.
It's an amazing state asset used by not only the military, but Homeland Security and the Department of Transportation. They were up there practicing snow plowing before the winter, and thank goodness we've got that facility.
We actually have a four-day training institute for the Red Cross for all our volunteers in April. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be going up there and offering a wide variety of disaster training courses for all our volunteers up there.
Be hard to do anywhere else, wouldn't it?
No, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's a great place. General and Jason, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the Red Cross here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to continue talking to the Red Cross. And my guests have been Brigadier General Joanna Clyborn, who as an individual is on the board of the Red Cross here in Minnesota, and Jason Bankson, who is the Regional Director of Service to Armed Forces and International Services. And Jason, one question that we need to cover is, how can our military families get a hold of the Red Cross, and what can you do for them?
Yeah, of course. The best way to reach us is to go to redcross.org. Easy place to go. It has everything you need. If you want to volunteer, if you want to find a way to contact us, it's the place to go. We also have a wide variety of applications that you can use, the most important being for this program, the HeroCare app. So the HeroCare app is a great application that service members can use, and it has all the information. They can actually submit emergency communication requests through the app, and it can be found on the Apple Store or Google Play, so it's accessible on any phone.
So if we have, if families have a military member that's deployed, like I was deployed back in the Vietnam era, the quickest way, if there's an emergency, to get a hold of them really is to contact the Red Cross, isn't it?
Yes, contact us directly.
If you try to go through the military unit, you're gonna slow down. And General, can you amplify that?
Absolutely. So we want our service members to be able to focus on the mission, and to help our leadership focus, we need the families to contact the Red Cross. They're the only authorized chain. When the Red Cross gets the notification, they'll do the verification. Then they will contact the military leadership to say that this is a verified situation, and then we can move from there.
So that's actually the quickest way. Contact the Red Cross at redcross.org. The telephone numbers and everything will be there.
Yes, and it's a 24/7. It's called the Hero Care Center, and it is answered any time of the day, any day of the week.
Okay, now you started talking about some apps, as we call them, for our telephones. I don't have too many on my telephone, but I'll bet the General's got a lot of them on hers. What kind of apps are there to help people follow the Red Cross?
Yeah, so I mentioned the Hero Care app, but we also have a lot of emergency apps, tornado, flood, shelter apps. So if a disaster happens, you can actually see where all of our emergency shelters are if you need a place to go. You can also check in on them and say if you are safe after a disaster, so your family can go in and look on the app if they're not in the same town as you. And if some tornado hit that town and they're worried about their family member, they can actually check the app. And if that person, that family member, checked in and said they're safe, they will be able to know that.
So if a tornado hits a town in southern Minnesota and you've got a relative down there and you can't reach them by cell phone, go to the American Red Cross or go to those telephone apps. If you don't have that, download it. And that might help you get some information.
Absolutely, yes. And we also have a first aid app, which is really helpful. It'll actually go walk you through the step-by-step of CPR and a lot of the basic first aid that we teach in a lot of our health and safety courses.
General, it sounds like the Red Cross is up to date on technology.
Absolutely, it is. You know, the key is to get people to be able to access it as quickly as possible and as easily as possible.
Well, the board's doing a good job on that one. Keep up the good work, sir, or ma'am. General, we'll just call you General. Okay, we were talking earlier off the air about something called Sound the Alarm. Can you tell me about that, Jason?
Yes, Sound the Alarm is a great program that we are offering. It's actually happening nationwide, but here in Minnesota, we're doing it in Minneapolis, St. Paul, down in Rochester, and it's a great program. We're going to be installing smoke alarms in people's homes and in really areas that are vulnerable. And so if you're interested in volunteering for that, you just have to go to www.redcross.org, and there's an opportunity. It's a banner at the top, and it'll say, I want to volunteer. You can actually go out and help install smoke alarms in people's houses and save lives.
Okay, Jason, we just got a little bit of time left. How can our listeners help you at the American Red Cross to help us?
Absolutely. There's tons of opportunities to serve, whether you want to help with disasters or serve our military. There's just countless opportunities. And all you have to do, it's really, really simple. You just go to redcross.org once again, and there's a option to help. You click it, and you start entering your information in, and we'll reach out to you and get you going in the process to volunteer.
So if our listeners want to volunteer or they want to donate, redcross.org
yep,
is the place to go.
You can also donate there at redcross.org. There's an easy way to donate money too if that's the way you want to contribute.
Very good. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to have you.
General, we've got about a minute left. Is there any message from the Red Cross Board of Directors? What is it you're emphasizing?
You know, what we're really emphasizing is getting involved. And as Jason said, whether that's the support to armed forces or participating in the Sound the Alarm or donating blood, we are at critical levels right now, low levels. We need blood donations. So if you're able to donate, and if you're not able to donate blood, stop in and help at the canteens or help recruit other donors who can come in and help provide blood. And again, as you heard, you can do all this at theredcross.com. But we don't do this by our door-to-org, but we don't do this by ourselves. We do this as part of the community. And so get involved, and we as a team can make a big difference here in Minnesota.
So, General, at redcross.org, are there locations where you can go donate blood?
Absolutely. And it will tell you the locations, and you can set up a time so that when you walk in, you've got an appointment time and they're expecting you, so it's in and out.
So for our listeners out there, volunteer, donate money, or more importantly right now, donate some blood. And so that you're ready for the next emergency, because there'll be one.
There always is. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and are we ready to be what we need to do at that time.
General, it's a pleasure to have you back in the studio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
That was Brigadier General Joanna Clyborn and Jason Bankson from the Red Cross on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Tom. Great to be with you again. Thank you.
Sergeant Major, we're running out of winter and we're coming up on spring. Everybody's getting excited about the Twins opening baseball, and summertime is here again in Minnesota, but those 100 days of summer can be dangerous.
Yeah, they sure can, Tom. And you know, the big thing, the message that we want to make sure that obviously our service members and the public in general realize is that although we're excited to get into that warm weather and start having some good fun outdoors, just to make sure that we're safe, we're making sound decisions on the things that we're doing. And with my formation, I just keep telling them, let's make disciplined and educated decisions on the actions that we're taking.
Good message for your troops and a good message for all of our listeners, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, absolutely. We want people to enjoy their time outside with their family, their friends, but we most importantly want them to do it safely so that they continue to share those experiences for years to come.
Sergeant Major, I understand you've got a new initiative that you're working on, and it's referred to as a talent management program. Is that spread across soldiers and airmen, and what's it all about?
Yeah, good question, Tom. So the talent management program is a revamp of something that we tried to do a few years ago, and we discovered it just wasn't working right. And so I've been charged by the Adjutant General to get after this, and we're going to take it in phases. We're going to start off implementing it with our active duty force inside the Army National Guard. So we're talking about 700 members that serve on active duty with the Minnesota Army National Guard. And what we want to do is manage talent. We want to provide career counseling, effective career counseling, and help people to achieve the goals, the desires, the aspirations that they have inside of our organization. And as you know, we're spread to every corner of the state. And it is impossible for me to know everybody. It's impossible for me to know what everybody's goals, dreams, and visions are. However, if I can have a database, a program, something where that person can enter their information so I have more visibility, then there is a better chance I can help them to achieve their goals. So that's what the intent is of this program. Like I said, we'll start off with our active duty force, but we intend to spread it out and with any luck be able to get it beyond the Army into our Air Force as well.
So, Sergeant Major, as I've learned in the past 7.5 years of the show in the Army, it's the same thing on the air side, but you have to identify future leadership. Positions change. It's next man or woman up. And part of this program is to identify and help train those future leaders.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, there's a saying that goes something like, you know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, you know. And that's what we want to be able to do is provide a tool for our leaders to help identify where their subordinates are going within our formation. And I think that that's what this will do. It'll be a tool to use in that face-to-face counseling where we're going to talk about someone's career. And then, of course, it adds that visibility because we want people to be set up for success. We want them to be happy in the job that they have. And most importantly, want them to achieve their personal goals, professional goals inside the organization as well.
Sergeant Major, that must tie in with the promotion boards that you were working on last time we talked.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, this program here isn't going to necessarily get somebody promoted, but it's going to get them some what we call career broadening opportunities, something that might not be directly in their career path, but something that definitely adds some great experience to them to make them more marketable. And so the enlisted promotion system, those boards finished up. And we're getting ready to publish that list. As a matter of fact, I've got a meeting coming up with the Adjutant General to review everything where he and I will validate that all the processes were followed correctly. You know, basically dotting the I's, crossing the T's. And he and I will validate that list, and we'll get it published, and we'll see, you know, who comes out at the top of the list to be our next non-commissioned officers, leaders inside the organization.
So those decisions may affect the force for years to come.
They absolutely will. They will definitely impact the force for years to come.
Sergeant Major, we've just got about a minute left, but occasionally you and I talk about the best warrior contests. Is there another lap of that coming up?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're doing our state competition starting here the beginning of April. And we will select the winner to go on and compete at the region level. And as we develop with that, I'll continue to give you updates.
And I understand you're going to send someone off to Croatia.
That's correct. If you remember, we talked to Staff Sergeant Dan Sebo, who won the state competition, the region competition, and then the national, Army National Guard level competition. He is going to be going over to Croatia to compete in the International Best Warrior competition in May.
Not much pressure on that one, is there?
No, there's no pressure, and he's a fantastic soldier. He's going to do great.
Sergeant Major, we're about out of time. Thanks for joining us again today.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to giving an update on SIBO next time we talk and further developments on the Best Warrior competition within Minnesota.
Thanks, Sergeant Major.
Have a great day.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Judy Wagner, Brigadier General Joanna Clyborn, Jason Bankson, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelotow of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we visit the Minneapolis Veterans Home and learn about their Adult Day Center. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.